that preaching the Bible is preaching the Bible. I love expository preaching. I love to be in the Bible, but I'm not going to skip talking on subjects that need to be discussed. And I know we've discussed them before. But I think in times like these, when everything seems to be in doubt and things are up in the air and we're not entirely sure what's going to happen by the end of the week, it's important for us to remember biblical things. Verse 1 of Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Folks, that is a conditional thought. The Lord is my light and my salvation. If tonight the Lord is your light and your salvation, there is nobody on the entire planet you should be afraid of. There is nothing that can happen here that you should be afraid of. No election, no tornado, no weather, no storm, no nothing. There is nothing we have to fear. Why? Because the Lord is my light. Whatever it is that happens in my life, God in His light will guide me through it. Now, what do we mean by God's light? We mean His direction, His love, His knowledge, His teaching, the pushing and moving of the Holy Spirit within us. He guides us in the way any light does. I remember when they rebuilt the high school down there at Flat Rock, they built a brand new auditorium, a brand new theater, and they had those runway lights. And every now and then we'd be in there working, doing something, and the only thing on would be those track lights. And you didn't have to worry about where you're going because you know there's nothing in the aisle, because that was the rule. You put nothing in the aisle. And sometimes all you could see were those lights. Sometimes there'd be other lights and things would be super bright and you couldn't even see those lights. But in the darkest, you had those track lights. And you knew where you're putting your foot. In a world that is growing increasingly dark, we have the wit, the wisdom, and the understanding of God right here in our laps. We have no one to fear. It says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." The Lord is the strength of my life. Could you imagine if on Tuesday, or most likely Wednesday, or maybe even Thursday, you got some news from CNN, ABC, and you said, "That's it. It's over. Oh, life's terrible." Wouldn't that be a miserable state to be in? Wouldn't it be even more miserable, in my opinion, if the candidate you wanted to win wins, and you go, "Yes, finally!" I think that'd be even more sad. "Well, brother, why? Don't you want a conservative to win?" "With everything in me, man. I'm gonna press down extra hard when I vote. I can't vote twice like a Democrat does, but I'm gonna press down extra hard when I vote. Just so you know I really mean it." But I'm telling you this. When they announce the name, and if I get my way, I'm not gonna be any more secure than I am right now. Doesn't matter what name they call out in the end, they are not the source of my strength. My health is not the source of my strength. My bank account is not the source of my strength. Who is the source of my strength? The Lord. So no matter what name is called out, I am already strong and should be strong in the Lord. Listen, when the children of Israel desired a king, "Oh, we want a king. Oh, we want a king." The one they wanted, they got. And they paid for it in spades. A king is not the source of a nation's strength. A leader can help and benefit and do great things if they are themselves a good leader. But they are not the strength of a nation. For them that love God, to them whose strength is the Lord, there is no one to be afraid of. I talk to many people, what if Putin drops the bombs? Well, to be honest with you, paying attention to these guys and their way of giving large amounts of money to the lowest talented people, I'd be surprised if those bombs left Russia. You know, I'd just be very surprised. Just seeing the way these superpowers aren't getting anything off the ground and they're missing, and how many people have tried to bomb out Israel and the bombs didn't work. Huh. Well, what if this and what if that and what if... Listen, whatever happens, God's in control of it. If God wants you home tonight, He doesn't need Vladimir Putin's nukes to do it. And if He wants you alive, there ain't nothing those tin cans are going to do to you. Whatever happens, God is our strength. He is our light. He is our salvation. We have nothing and no one to be afraid of. Well, what if the Antichrist comes? What if they're starting to leak up into power? Hey, man, you get up there, man. Now, again, I'm not a fool. I met somebody one time. Well, since we want the Lord to come back, I always vote on the other side just so we can get closer to the world. You're going to die. Why don't you go slap a rhinoceros? What? Listen, man, one day we're all going to be in the ground. Go bury yourself now. Why? Why disobey God? Why break the rules and the expectations of us? Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us be people of God. So when we sit there and somebody asks, well, what do you think? Well, this is what God says, so this is what I think, so this is how I'm going to vote. You know, they've often told us, well, it is the radical small amount that do most of the talking, but the average person cannot be bothered. My friends, there are ungodly things in this election, ungodly things that our country is doing. We are God's people. We got to do something. We got to do something. The difference is that no matter what happens, we know it's by God's design. God's control. Well, what if it's so and so? Well, then I got to serve the Great Commission, keep myself pure, work hard in my church. Okay, but you know, what if Kamala Harris gets in there and it becomes harder? Then I sweat a little bit more doing the same things. I serve my God. And because I serve my God, I vote the way I vote, and I hold the standards the way I hold them, and I will hold them out there in public. But I'm not going to shake apart. You remember back when Trump first got into office? That video that they played of that, I don't know what kind of a person it was, but they were wearing like a green coat or something, and they're just in the street. No! That ain't you. Your strength is not in the White House. In the end, my God still sits on the throne. Now, brother, listen here. Now, aren't you at least a little concerned? They could do stuff. I hear you. They could do stuff. Let's keep reading. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Confident. Anybody here looking out in this world and you feel confident? You go to the grocery store. It costs your confidence to go to the grocery store. You go to the doctor and it costs your confidence to go to the doctor. Because it's always like, well, what is it now, doc? Or later you get that bill in the mail. Woo! You go to the pharmacy. Well, I got to get these pills, those pills, these ones over here. Doctor tried to put me on a medication. I ran it through my insurance. I got a coupon for it. And after the insurance and the coupon, it was $800 and some odd. I called my doctor. I said, is there anything else I could? Because that's not okay. It takes your confidence. Well, what happens if something serious is going on? You know, I think of many people. We've got a lot of people with cancer on our prayer request list. Could you imagine the cost that some people are going through in that? The financial destruction? When they're charging $7 a Tylenol? It's rough. But shatter your confidence. Nothing shatters your confidence more than watching the debate. Can't even sit there and watch it. They haven't had too many of them, praise the Lord. But even that's terrifying, isn't it? You're sitting there and you're watching Trump and Biden go at it, and they're bickering over their golf scores. Makes you start to feel as though you're sitting in the waiting room at the dentist. He doesn't even have a handicap. We've got war. People are dying in other places. We are shipping millions of dollars. A country that is trillions in debt is shipping millions and billions of dollars over to other places. Our people die in the street, and we bring in people who have never paid a dime into this business, and we feed, clothe, and shelter them. Our soldiers who've broken and beaten their bodies for the sake of keeping the war at another shore. They go hungry in the streets. They are denied assistance and aid. Yes, I am angry at some of the things happening. And I tell you what, there's very few things that make me angrier than what we're doing to children in this country. From those who ain't born yet, to those in the school system, to those that sit and watch entertainment. I saw a brand new thing, an article, the new poll for when a child is first introduced to pornography. Do you know what the average age of that is now? It's 10 years old. And that's the hard stuff. We're not talking about what they see when they're watching NFL. We're not talking about what they see when they're just on YouTube and they see some barely clothed human beings. 10! And when you say stuff about it, oh, well, you're a square. Really? Because in 14 years, when that person is arrested because they've got a twisted and demented view of the marital act, they're going to point their fingers in my chest and say, you were a bad dad for not nipping this in the bud. But when I sit there and call it evil, I'm a bad person. But when I let evil run rampant in my home, I'm a bad person. You understand there's no winning in the world's game. You must let us keep our sin, and you can't say anything about it. Well, brother, aren't you concerned? I am concerned, but you know what I also know? The devil himself could not vex Lot more. Job more than God allowed him to do it. I know this, that if the devil had gone a step further than what God gave him permission to do, the devil would have had another bad day. When the devil puffed his chest up at God, started talking all sorts of I will be like, Jesus said, I saw the devil fall from heaven. Listen here, that's somebody who wishes they were somebody, but they ain't. Oh, he'll get the best of you and me. He's a roaring lion to us. He seeks to, as he did to Peter, sift us like wheat. And we ain't nothing in his hands. He's been watching mankind for too long. Honestly, at the things that he has built and put into this society, I have no doubt in my mind, he doesn't even think about the general populace anymore. He's up there with the big movers and shakers. Why? Because the machine is working. Get them up. Get them on their phones. Get them watching TV. Get them feeding themselves with just ridiculous things. give them milkshakes and chicken Big Macs and pizzas and all these things. Let them just be sedated. Give them legal marijuana. Give them drugs that'll completely bleach out their brains. Give them everything and they will eat it up. Give them just a small excuse to skip church. And they will. Pastor referenced that song. Man, he'd always reference that song. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. And it was always the same. Oh, that building is too hot. That building is too cold. Well, that preacher, he's too much in my business. Or, you know, that preacher didn't even shake my hand. Well, I got a headache in the morning. I got a backache at night. But, you know, by Monday morning, they're feeling quite all right. These phantom pains that show up roughly around the time we're supposed to be leaving church. And by the time we're back in our pajamas and sitting on the couch, they have mysteriously healed. Only to return moments before we're to leave for PM service. The devil knows he's got us on the machine. They will feed themselves by the nature of their impulses, by their sin nature. They will be slaves. But it doesn't have to be so. He fell. God kicked him out. He is still afraid of our God. So we need to remember that when we start thinking these baser elements are going to make us better. And that what the Bible calls our sin, the things of this world, the more baser elements, the more beggarly elements. Well, hot dog, we got a conservative in the office. Hot dog, we got a Democrat in the... What's it going to do? What's it going to do? God says, no, they ain't got it. There's nothing they can do. Well, what'll he eat? He'll cause them to stumble and fall. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. Maybe a scandal comes out. Now, I think sometimes the devil does that too. I think some of these people, they're paying for not paying their dues. But I also think that there's this element in the Bible that says, be sure your sin will find you out. And I think a lot of that takes place. Well, whatever happened to so-and-so, whatever happened to so-and-so. Or you sit there, you see, oh, did you see that senator? Oh, they passed away. Why, freak car accident. What a weird thing. I don't believe in coincidences. What would we do here? What would we do there? Listen, I don't know why Joe Biden lost his mind midway through his presidency. I think it started way before then. When you're sitting there as a vice president, honoring a man who lost both of his legs in the military, and you ask him to stand up so he could be recognized, that should have been point number one. You sat there and said, And at that point, I would hope that if ever I got to that point, one of my kids would come up and say, Dad, time for you to spend some more time with your grandkids. There comes a point for all of us. Listen, at a certain point, you ain't sharp enough to run the most powerful nation in the world. I'm not sure I'm there now in my 30s. You following me? I ain't insulting anybody. I'm just saying. Well, when you get old, you're complete. No, that's not my point. My point is this. It is not running the day shift at McDonald's running this country. You're not sitting there even at a Fortune 500 company level. You are in the deep end, my friends. You know what God does? God could make the people around you turn on you like they did. How many leaders, how many rulers have we seen putty in God's hands? Mighty Pharaoh of Egypt. Let my people go. No, listen. I love the part where it says God hardened his heart. Poor Pharaoh, he thought he was saying no. No. You think God cared about what Pharaoh had to say? God wanted Pharaoh out in the middle of the Red Sea. That's what this was about. God was passing judgment on Pharaoh for his treatment of his people. Why would God harden his heart if he was negotiating? He wasn't negotiating. He was riling up. So finally, what did God do? God broke his heart. And then God broke him. God broke him. You let the children of Israel go? I mean, think about that. Think about being in that country. Well, Pharaoh's over there letting the workforce go. What do you mean he let them go? He's letting them go. Well, how are they going to feed themselves out there? They're saying that we're supposed to give them stuff. Give them what? Our gold. Now, that sounds kind of familiar. A little familiar. What are we supposed to give them? Your place. A bunch of people down there on the border. All right, you guys go next. Start shipping them out to places where they didn't think they'd find them. Well, what are all these people doing here? What are you doing here? Your legislation allows us to be here. Well, I don't like it. Oh, well. And as that, you give them your room. You give them your money. You let them do that. Well, there's got to be something we can... Yeah. Could you imagine just being there at that time? Pharaoh let the workforce go. And Pharaoh demanded that people give them their stuff so they could go. Now, they didn't have free and open elections over there in Egypt at this time. But if they did, Pharaoh wouldn't have made it. But it didn't matter. Because God blew a hole in that nation so big they never quite recovered from it proper. They were the world power. You think God cares about world powers? He don't care about the devil. He ain't bothered by world powers. In the book of Revelation, we see a mighty war where the whole world with the best of its technology lasts about the space of a word in a battle against God. It says that valley fills with blood. I ain't worried about Kamala Harris. I ain't worried about a Senate. I ain't worried about a House of Representatives. There's nothing they can do. God won't let them do. And again, what do they think? They think they're playing into their own hands. Oh, we'll trick the world. We'll lie about this. We'll hide ballots. We'll stash this. We'll do this propaganda. And oh man, hasn't the propaganda been about mediocre this go-round? I mean, I tell you what, propaganda's bad. In my opinion, if you've got to twist things, but the propaganda has just been lame. Not even interesting. I can't, how many times I've passed that sign with that lady? We were coming back from, what was it, Traverse City? I'm a Christian. I used to support Trump. I'm voting for Kamala Harris. And it's the same lady. I don't care what that lady's doing. Do you really think I'm so dumb to sit there and go, well, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I voted for Trump. You mean to tell me I have a choice? Of course I have a choice. I'm going to make it. But of course I have a choice. And it's like, what are you doing here? And again, you saw a little bit on the other side. Why? But I used to be pro-choice. Now I'm pro-life. Or Kamala Harris. Well, you can be a Christian and not want to have an abortion, but still support the right for other people to have them. And again, we say have them, and we don't say kill their children. We ought to just call it what it is. Kill your unborn child. Well, it's abortion. Now, listen here. If I am in Batman's Batmobile, and the Joker's blown a hole in the front, I hit that abort button and it shoots me out. All right, if you're up in an airplane and the airplane's going down, you hit that abort button and you stop. You're on a mission and they say abort mission, you get out of the mission. But ending a life is murder. It's what it is. Let's call it what it is. But I just think that it's funny that she gets the right to talk about what Christians should or should not do, but I can't. Well, Christians shouldn't be bringing their Christianity to the polls. Well, I ain't bringing your humanism. I ain't got nothing else, so that's what I'm bringing. I told somebody that one time. I said, are you bringing your philosophy to the polls? And they said, yeah. I go, well, then I'm bringing mine. Well, I wouldn't know how to vote without my philosophy. That's the point, my friend. You vote by your beliefs. I vote by my beliefs. That's what makes this country wonderful. I'm sorry. Baptists have always been about freedom of religion. That's what I think. That's wonderful. I think the Muslims should have the same rights as I do. Provided they ain't hurting nobody. That Sharia law stuff, don't listen to anybody. That Sharia law stuff is deadly. Oh, we don't all believe it. You might not all believe it, but it's there. It's there. And if allowed, many of the people in this state would take their wives off of tall places and throw them off in form of divorce. I've heard them say it. Working around those people, and I asked them, what do you think about Sharia law? Well, I don't believe it, but my cousin does, and so will do that. And they'll tell me stories of some of the things that they would do. I said, man, I go, you can't do that here. And they go, well, we're hoping that'll change soon. That was 2009. No, earlier than that, 2007, 2008. 2007, 2008. Not even a decade past the World Trade Center bombings. Not even past that. We're hoping. Listen, when we see this world, when we see the things that they are capable of, it is easy for us to be afraid. There's nothing they can do our God won't stop them from. He says this in form of hope. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Where does a Christian get centered, my friends? Where does it happen? He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, why is that such a joy? He goes on to behold the beauty. To behold the beauty. I'm sorry, if you're not reading your Bible and hearing beauty, figure out what's gone on between you and God. Because you ought to be seeing the beauty. There's some disconnect between you and your faith, you and God. But once you get it right, this book is a beautiful book. If we get news we don't like on Wednesday morning, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be here Wednesday night. Now, we're not going to be here on Friday morning because we got stuff going on. We won't be doing coffee fellowship. Don't show up to coffee fellowship. We ain't having it. Stuff going on. But if we did have it, I would be there. And I will be here in that office with the books open. I'll be there in that office on my knees. My Wednesday, Thursday, Friday ain't going to look any different than last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday just because somebody entered into the White House or somebody stayed in the White House. That's not going to stop the beauty in the house of God. It ain't going to stop the beauty of the Word of God. It's not going to stop the beauty of the Holy Spirit moving within us. Oh, we still get to keep it in jails. I think of Jeremiah. They threw Jeremiah into a pit and they left him there. And when they pulled him back out, asked him a question. Why? You're just going to get mad at me again. They couldn't take it out of Jeremiah. They couldn't take it out of the disciples. We whipped him. We put him in jail. We told him, don't talk about this anymore. And we let him out like it was kind of a deal. All right, you don't talk anymore. You go. That should make a simple-minded person go, okay, I can't do that anymore. Here's the problem. They weren't simple-minded people. They were God-crazed. They loved God. They're crazy about God. Some people are crazy about just about anything else. We need to be crazy about God. Well, what if we see more and more a one world government and this and that and all these things that we dreamed up in our head that the end times are going to be? What happens? We're close. We've been in situations that look close before. I mean, when we're looking at somebody who would stand up and would do terrible things to the Jews for 7 years, haven't we already seen that guy? Many people would have said, well, that Adolf Hitler guy, he's as close as we'll ever get. Look at how much of the world he took over. Look at the terrible things he did. Didn't quite fit the picture. There's supposed to be 3.5 years of niceness and then 3.5 years of terrible things. He just started with the terrible things. But we've been there where we sit there and say, all the signs are there. All the signs are there. Going through all of Baptist history, we have always been convinced that it could be today. You want to know why? Because the signs have always been there. And why should we continue to believe that it could happen any day? Because he told us it's going to happen. That's all I need to know. I don't need to smell the Antichrist. I don't need to see a whiff of them there on the news. I don't need to see a one world government. I don't need to see this. I don't need to see that. I know because he told me he's coming. He's coming. So I'm going to act like it. And I'm going to take joy in what God has done for us. And I'm going to take joy in his counsel and take joy in his house. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Because that has always been our response to bad politics. It's always been our response. I get tickled at the idea of Paul. Paul, back in his Saul days, what would he do? He'd gather, jail, and keep the Christians. And let me tell you something Christians have always done. When you jail us for being Christians, we sing. Could you imagine Paul sitting there with a big old line of prisoners headed back to wherever he was going, just, hey, come on. And in the night, you'd hear the hymns. They didn't have the hymns we have today, but they'd sing. A mighty fortress is our God. You'd almost hear Paul scoff. You're in chains. In times where they'd have to be whipped. And they would praise God for counting them worthy for such a blessing. You're crazy. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Just hearing that. And then I want you to remember the first time we hear about Paul in prison and he sang. We always assume that Paul learned how to do that himself, but what if he learned that? During their darkest times, we see the disciples, they sang hymns with the Lord. That has always been our move. Whether it is good or whether it is bad, we sing praises unto our God. Many of us, our hearts are too disconnected from worship. Like Peter, the moment we feel the tugging of the waves, we get our eyes off of God and we wonder, what are we going to do? And the water rushes over our heads, no, no. But let us adopt the true nature of being a Christian. And let us seek solace, comfort, and protection from our God. There's places in this world where you can be jailed for being a Christian. There's places in this world where you'll be murdered for being a certain kind of Christian. Well, what if I find myself in that position? Be glad to be counted worthy among the likes of the disciples and countless millions of others down the line. There's a special reward for those who suffered persecution. Real persecution, not the persecution we know today. They unfriended me. Oh, they blocked me on Twitter. Oh, they won't come to Thanksgiving anymore. Real persecution, where you bleed and you hurt. What do? The real ones will sing. The ones with issues between them and God, they'll cry and hide. God will protect his own. What that'll look like, I can't promise you. Every situation's going to be different. But no matter what comes in our future, either from politics, the economy, our health, our life, our families, this church, whatever it is, God is our rock. He is our protector. Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O my God, O my God of my salvation." What does the Lord say? Seek my face. Okay, but what if it's the Democrats' turn again? Seek my face. Oh man, what if we get Trump back in there? Seek my face. Remember, just because there's some good doesn't mean there's not some bad that comes along with it. These are mortal people we're talking about. Seek God's face. Well, what if things get harder? Well, then you definitely better seek His face. Go along with what David said. Lord, don't get too far. Don't get too far. One of the boys, I won't tell you who, was taking the trash out. And they were concerned about going out in the dark. And they had a flashlight and they were using the buddy system to take the trash out because of the wild wildebeests, the snarling rabid monsters. And I sat there and I found myself scoffing in the way that my dad and my uncles would scoff. And I felt bad for a second. So I said, "Psh, when I was your age, I used to walk a quarter mile in that dark to the campsite. No flashlight, no sense in my head." I sat there and I said, "What is wrong with me? Did that just..." I almost had to reach out to my dad and say, "Dad, you won't believe this." We seek the Lord's face. Lord, when I was a kid, you know what I would do? My dad would walk us back from wherever. My grandparents had a big property, and every child of theirs had their own spot. And them and their wives and their families would set up campers and things, and they all had different. And it was about a quarter mile stretch up and down the road where we would be. And you'd go from Mama and Papa's log cabin back to whatever thing you had rigged up. And we were walking back when I was young, I'd always, Dad, ooh. I'd get distracted by something. "Oh, look, there's that toy we left out there. Oh, hey, Dad. Is that a rabbit? What's going on?" And then all of a sudden the light would be up there. "Dad, whoa, whoa. Don't get too far. Don't hide their face too far from me. Lord, whatever goes on in this world, it's enough to scare me. It's enough to buckle me a little bit. Lord, do not go too far." And you know, he says, "Seek my face. Look to me." What got Peter in trouble on that water? He took his eyes off the Lord. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him, no matter what the storm is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the news is, no matter what the prognosis is, no matter what the election is. You keep your eyes on the Lord. And that goes beyond just, "All right, God, okay, good. All right, God, okay, good." No, you got to be in this book. And you got to be adopting these things into your life. That is what seeking the Lord's face is. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." A plain path, a simple path, an easier path to defend. And you know what? The Christian walk ain't easy. But the path, the way, the lifestyle that God has given us, that's easy enough to defend. Well, you Christians, you got no idea what you're talking about, really? What do you think about killing? Well, that's bad. Oops. That's the Bible's. You can't have that. What do you think about lying? Well, lying can cause trouble. That's what the Bible says. There ain't nothing God told us not to do that we can't defend as to why you shouldn't do it. From a promiscuous lifestyle down to cheating in the election, it doesn't matter. We can defend easily God's way, the way that He's given us. We can defend it. And more importantly, God doesn't need our help defending it. I want to finish with this. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Oh man, you go out on YouTube, you find any manner of person out there sitting there willing to take a shot at God. I wonder what they will do with their millions of views on YouTube when they actually stand before God. There's one lady out there, she's very proud of herself. She goes, I help people deconstruct from their religion. And I tell you what, if they become atheists at the end, I'm okay with it. Wait till you stand before God. He's not going to be clicking like and subscribe. It's going to be something else. Oh, well, you know, we make these movies and they question God and people love it. People love it when we question God. People love it when we... You're not going to love it. Well, according to Rotten Tomatoes, we did really good. According to my subscriber count, we're doing really good. Man, you wait till God votes. You wait till God has something to say. Better yet, do yourself a favor. Get it right now. And the people think that we're being delivered into their will. We're powerful. We're strong. Look at us. Everybody agrees with us. Oh, things will go our way. And much like Pharaoh, they will find out that they had willfully and purposefully shot their own selves in the foot. That's what Pharaoh did, didn't he? No, no, no. You see these people? I don't even know why we have these people. Put them to work. Lock them up. Make them build brick. They're slaves now. We own them. God didn't take too kindly to that. Those were his people. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put them down. We're going to make them work all this stuff. We're going to take away their status as being human beings. God didn't take too partial to that. And when God sent down his messages, hey, listen, Moses, Aaron, you go down there and you tell them to let my people go. He had the audacity to say no. Why? Because he had his gods. He had his power. He had his right. And you know what he found? At the end, he had no army. In the end, he had some problems. This is where the world will find itself. Left wing, right wing, the whole bird is going to find itself kneeling before God. And all the misconceptions are going to be cleared up. David had this confidence, and he was a man who was talking about literal battle. Literal battle. Sword in the hand, cuts all over the place, that kind of battle. He was a man of literal scars. Not our namby-pamby nowadays scars where at one time or another somebody said something mean to me, so now I can't possibly go into another gas station because it gives me the anxiety because one time somebody cut off me. Real scars. The ones you bleed from. The ones that heal and never go away. Scars. What does he say next? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This week, if you're scared, I want you to remember verse 13. If you're at the doctor's office, if you're looking at your checkbook, if you're talking to a mechanic, if you're sitting there, I talked to my father-in-law, his friend of 20-plus years, who worked at the same company with him for 20-plus years. He'd come and gone, but he'd known this guy for 20-plus years in this business, had worked for this company good and did a good job. Company's downsizing. They're having issues. Let a bunch of people go. Fired this guy, been there for 20-plus years. If you're sitting in your boss's office wondering, what now? I want you to remember this verse. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted. You know what? Were it not for God, I probably would have fainted any time this year. Just looking over at my wife going, we got a workout this year. You know? We're going into December wore out. You know? And we're waiting for my dad to go through a surgery. Pray for us. We're trying to work out a way for me to be more of a help here, more of a help down there to mom and dad at the same time. Just logistical things and how to get down there. But pray for us, because mom needs that job. She's the only one making money. We still have a bit to go. I probably would have fainted. I'm sitting there talking to my doctor, and he goes, "Hey, listen, I think I got an idea as to why you're not having kids." I'd have fainted. When piles and piles of disappointment hit my life, I'd have fainted. But you know what we have to believe? Seeing the things that God can do in this world. And I would sit there like, well, and then this happened. My dad was talking to somebody in the weight room at his doctor's. And the guy was sitting there going, "Hey, well, what are you here for?" And my dad told him. And the guy goes to tell my dad, "Oh, I had that surgery. And then my stomach fell off. And he was a double amputee." And you ever meet somebody like that? Then I went home and the skies opened up. And a whole trailer came down and just landed on my house. Just doom and gloom. I sit there going, I know exactly what kind of person that is. That's the person I would be. And then the skies opened up and just a bunch of ducks came down and soiled my car. Just, it was terrible. My life's terrible. All awful, terrible. And you meet those people. They're sitting on park benches. They're just waiting for you. You don't know what their business is, but they're the people that will just dump all of their life trauma on you. And they just make, you're sitting in line. You got your groceries. And this person goes, "Let me tell you about the time my wife ran off with the milkman, and then the milkman shot me. I need to feed my kids." That's what we would be. But what do we have instead? This stunk. I hated this. But then God did this and this. And God brought that into my life. And on the darkest day of this entire storm, I felt at peace. I was in church and I was singing hymns. And I felt as though God was sitting right next to me and put his arm around me. I hope you've had moments like that, because I've had them. And I tell you what, I love them. Peace where it shouldn't be peace. Joy where there shouldn't be joy. During all this, what do? We sing joy. Why? Are you crazy? No, it's just there. Well, aren't you sad? Yeah. Aren't you angry? A little bit. Well, then where's the joy? I'm starting to think these things aren't like chasing each other away. Why? Because God put it there. Well, I was looking like this, and then, you know, I was sitting there going, well, that's it. Ain't nothing I can do about that. Then what happened? Somebody called and said, "Hey, listen, I've got an extra one of these. Would you like this? Would this help you out?" And you're sitting there going, as a matter of fact, that's exactly the thing hanging me right now. Absolutely. And it goes in small things. Somebody catching you on the side of the road. "Hey, listen, you got a jack?" "No, my jack broke." "Oh, I got a jack in the back of my car. So glad." Sitting there, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, we're going to pray. And all of a sudden that problem is gone. God does that. Well, what happens if a Democrat gets in the office? I don't know. What happens if a Democrat gets in the office and the church experiences revival and the church pews are filled, and during that process we end up having to buy a brand new building? And all the work we've done on the doors has just gone to help us sell the place? Oh, when we go out here and we build this great big place over here and we just see lots of people coming in and a lot of people's lives are being changed and we go to sing and it's about to blow the new roof off. What if that happens? I don't know what God's going to do, but I know he's going to do something, so I'm fine. I'm going to get up early, because that's my tradition on Tuesday. When I go to vote, I like to get there early. And I'll stand in that line and it's going to be short. Why? Because it's early. I don't know that. When I voted down in Flushing, I think it was Flushing was the last time. We were up here. Last time it wasn't so much. You guys are different. I've learned that some of the tricks that I can use to get away with stuff downriver I couldn't do up here because y'all think like I do. We're going to get there early. Well, see, it doesn't work if 1,000 of us do it. All of a sudden you're sitting there, well, I'll go late. That'll be the smart thing to go. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to vote. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to worry about that vote. Did you see that guy set fire to a mailbox, had a bunch of ballots in it? I'm not going to worry. I did my job. And if God wants my vote counted, she'll be counted. And if God wants a Democrat, a Republican, a frog in the office, I don't care. Because my God sits on the throne. Now, I'm not going to vote for the frog or the Democrat. I don't want anybody nervous. Well, you didn't say for sure. I'm not going to worry. Because God sits on the throne. Well, what do we do? The stuff we should have been doing anyway. How am I going to feel? Joy if you put everything and you see, put everything in the Lord's lap and you seek His face. You're going to feel joy. Joy this world can't take away. Well, what if they blow the world to smithereens? They ain't getting the next one. They ain't getting the next one. I'll be there. Not by my merit. I'll be there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I could preach on this until it's time for us to go vote. But Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your love. Lord, we do not sit here and as this church try to endorse one particular man. Lord, these are sinners. And these people that seek to lead our country, they do not honor you. I don't care what they say. I know they don't honor you. Father, I pray that your churches honor you. I pray that they adore you, that they worship you, and that, Father, oh yes, that we obey you in all things. Because, Lord, that is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. And, Lord, we know that your protecting hand will be upon us. And we know that whether the next person is a David or a Saul, it doesn't matter. Because it's you we're relying on. Oh, help us, Lord, not to faint. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 157.